We're holding on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. Let's see, about 10 lines from the bottom. The line begins with Midaraisa. We finished off yesterday by mentioning like this. The Mishnah had talked about a case where someone does Yibum and it turns out that the Yivama is pregnant, and the Yivama is pregnant. So we said the Tanakam, if it turns out that the baby was non-viable, she miscarried or lived less than 3 days or whatever, then the Tanakam, then the Tana and the Mishnah is saying, fine, the B'dieved, they can stay married, because after all, it turns out to have been a good Yibum. So, okay, we said according to Rosh Lakish, they might have to do Bia again. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that might not be necessary, but whatever, they can stay married. Then we brought the Braisa that says that Rabbi Eliezer says he actually has to divorce her, as a knas, we said. Amar Rava, l'divrei chachamim yetziya beget. According to the chachamim, which we said that the chachamim and the Braisa had said that, this isn't really talking, going back not to the case of Yavama, but rather we mentioned that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Meir have say things that are somewhat related. The Gemara actually originally thought they were the same thing, but then we said that there's actually a difference between them. Reb Meir talks about a case where someone marries a woman who's pregnant or nursing someone else's baby, where her first husband died or divorced her, and she's pregnant or nursing. You're not allowed to marry her during that time. And we're saying if you did, then Reb Meir is saying you need to divorce her and you can never remarry her, and the Chachamim are saying you need to divorce her, but afterwards you can remarry her. So Amar Rava, well, the Divrei Chachamim Yotzei Beget. According to the Chachamim, when we say that he has to separate from her, Yotzei doesn't just mean that he separates from her temporarily. It means he actually has to divorce her. He actually has to give her a get, and then later on they'll allow him to remarry her. In fact, we can see this from a diuk of the words of the Braisa. Katani Yotzei, but like Katani Yafrish. It says he has to dismiss her, which means, in other words, he has to actually give her a get. Not Yafrish, he just has to separate from her. Shmami, not that proved it. Yotzi would actually mean to give her a get. It's not just good enough that Beis Din makes them stay apart. They actually will have to get divorced. Let's ask like this, Rabashi says. Hasan Tnan, we learn in a, we learn in a Braisa, in Shabbos, we also are going to have it later in our Masechta, Rab Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol Shashah Ba'adam Lamed Yom Einan Nefel, any human baby that survived for more than 30 days is not considered a miscarriage, a stillbirth, which implies Holo Shah Sveika Havi, which implies if he lived less than 30 days, then it's a suffix. The Gemara talks about in Shabbos, there's a couple of possibilities. We could be talking, are we talking about a case, you could have a case, for example, where the baby just took one breath and then immediately died. Or you could be talking about a case where, let's say, during the 3 days, something external happened. The example the Gemara gives over there is, for example, a baby fell off a roof or was eaten by a wild animal or whatever. The point is, like, something, a freak accident, basically. Whatever it is, the Gemara there in Shabbos discusses the details, but whatever it is, if it's during 30 days, then there's a suffix. Now, the Itmar, and then we...
Regardless of the accident?
That's the thing, because we don't know. I mean, obviously, if it hadn't been for the accident, then the child wouldn't have been killed from that. But the question is, nevertheless, is it still possible the child would have died within 30 days from natural causes, which would make him a nafel? And again, like we said yesterday, we're not talking about the case where we know for a fact that the baby was born after a full 9-month pregnancy. In that case, the halacha is that even on the very day the kid is born, he's already considered living for all purposes. There's no possibility of him being a nafel. But in a normal situation where you're not sure when conception took place relative to the birth, then you never can be sure it might have been.
So if he was conceived throughout the pregnancy, delivery,
that's a stillbirth. That's what we're saying. But if we know for sure it was a full 9-month pregnancy, then yes, we would consider him even if he just took one breath and then died. He'd still, it would be like an adult. It would be like an adult who died. Rahman al-Fan.
So that's
nafel. That would not be considered a nafel. But the normal, when we're talking about over here, that it has to last for 3 days. We're talking about the ordinary situation where we don't really have a clear way of knowing how long the pregnancy was. Was it really full 9 months? 271 days, as Gemara mentions in Nidda, or maybe was he born during the 9th month, during the 8th month? We don't really know. Like you said yesterday, I mean, even nowadays with all the pregnancy calculators, it's still not always certain. Yeah. Anyway. V'itmar, and then they also had a further discussion about this. So that was the braisa, that if the child dies within 30 days, then it's a suffix. V'itmar, now they had a discussion of the Amoroyim on this. Mes besoich lam yom v'omdom niskadsha. What happens if the baby dies within 30 days old, within 30 days, and the Yavama had gone and was miskadish to somebody else? She figured she's potter because her son died within 30 days, she figures she's potter because the child might have lived, but maybe not. Maybe she's still chayiv in yibum because her husband didn't leave any vizera'im, he didn't have any viable children.
And the reality is
that it's a suffix. Exactly, and that we're talking, it's a suffix. We don't have a way of knowing, since the kid ended up dying of some external cause, we have no way of knowing whether he would have lived to 30 days or not. So therefore, Ravina Mishmeid Rava Amar, so Ravina says in the name of Rava, Im Eshis Yisrael Hi Chiletzes, if this woman is married to a Yisrael, or not married to, but to the Scottish, whatever, to a Yisrael, then she should do Chalitza, because the Chalitza won't hurt anything. Let her do the Chalitza, that'll take care of any possible Zikha that there might be. And then she can remarry she can stay married to her husband. You're all allowed to be married to a chalitza. B'meishes koyin, he ain't a chalitza. But if she's wife of a koyin, she should not do chalitza, because then she's going to become also to him, midrabanan. So therefore, we'll be meiko on her and say that we're not going to force her to do chalitza because of the suffix. That was Ravina. On the other hand, Rav Masharshi Mishmei the Rav Alma, Achasnu v'Achasnu Cheletzes. Rav Masharshi, it says also in the name of Rav, or Rav Shravia, it says here on the side, there's a version in Shabbos, says no, either way, she has to do Chalitza. If her new husband is a Kohen, and it means she's not going to be able to stay married to him, tough luck. But we said that there is a suffix. Maybe she's Yivom and Lashuk, she may not be allowed to. Now, wait, Omale Ravina Rav Meshashia. So Ravina says to Rav Meshashia, you're telling me we have to be machmer. Let me tell you, Ba'urta Omar Rava Hachi, in the evening, yesterday evening, Rava said, like you, that you have to be machmer. Over Tzafra, Hadabe, but in the morning, he changed his mind, and he decided according to the more lenient opinion. You just don't have the latest information. I do. Omale, so Rav Masharshi or Rav Shravia answers him, Shivritu, you're telling me you're being matirit. Yehei rab de tishtiru akarba. Yehi rotsin should be the Eibishter's will that you will also be matir chelav. Now, what do they mean by that? So there's a lot of different explanations. I mean, it seems like a very sharp expression to say. So there's a few different. Actually, first of all, there's a girsa, not tarba meaning chaylev, but rather tarcha meaning a grusha. So effectively, it still kind of amounts to the same thing. He's saying you'd be matter a case like this of a chalutza, of a suffix chalutza, which is of a possible yevamalashuk. So it's going to eventually happen. You're going to end up being matter a grusha, which is off the deraita. But there's a lot of different mafarshim that talk about that to kind of soften what he means. One of them is there's one explanation that some mafarshim that Aruch HaNer, for example, brings. There was a certain kind of chaylev that the Gemara mentioned in Chole, Kayanim used to hold as mutter. Most of the different chachamim, the Kayanim tended to hold that it's mutter, a certain fast on one part of the stomach, and everybody else held that it's aser. So we're saying over here, you're trying to help out the Kayanim by saying that the guy shouldn't have to divorce his wife after she does this chalitza misafik. The Eibishter should help, but you'll also be able to understand and then be master the kind of chaylev that the Kayanim holds in mutter, that you'll be able to help them with that also. And then there's another explanation, just that some of Horsham say. What he means by it is that you're obviously blatantly wrong. There's no question. I mean, you know, if Rava had really changed his mind, he would have announced it. He wouldn't just have, you know, the next morning he said a different psach without clarifying, you know what, last night I realized I made a mistake. So therefore, Halavai, he says, Halavai, you should come to, at some point, you'll accidentally be matir chaylev, and then you'll realize, wait a minute, I don't know what I'm talking about, then I better revisit what I've done before and realize that I misunderstood something else as well, like in this case. Anyway. So far, this is all the background information that Ravashi is using for his question. Yeah, so we established, in other words, we have these two different opinions within what Rava says, what you do if this Yavama married outside the family on the strength of the fact that she had a baby, even though the baby died of external causes during the 30 days, and we don't know whether he would have lived to 30 days or not. Haha. What about in our case over here that we started talking about yesterday? What happens if a kohen goes and illegally marries a woman who was pregnant by somebody else, by her first husband, or nursing a baby from her first husband? What happens to both of them? In other words, do we say the same thing? Do we say they're going to have to divorce with the get that we just said, Rava said that he's going to have to give her a get, even though because he's a kohen, that means he's never going to be able to remarry her? Or maybe we'll be makel in this case. That's the question. If a Yisrael were to marry this Mu'beres Chaveiro, Menekes Chaveiro, no problem. The Chachamim are saying, give her a get. Later on, after 24 months have passed, and she's weaned the baby, then go ahead and remarry her. We're asking, what happens if this man who married her, her second husband, is a Kohen?
And he married her while she's Mu'beres.
While she's Menekes. It doesn't matter whether he knows. No, let's even say he does know. But if we come to him that he's going to have to divorce her, then he's never going to be able to remarry her. That's the question. What would be the din? Me over Rabbanan takanta l'koyin elai. Did the Rabbanan make a takana for the koyin that maybe for Yisrael will tell him divorce her and then later on remarry her? But a koyin, you can't do that, so maybe they'll be makel on him.
Yisrael, why can't he just separate himself?
Because we said that even the Chachamim agree that Yotzia means, but Yotzi means the get. He has to actually give her a get. It's not just good enough to separate.
But then he can remarry her.
Yeah. But wait, we'll get back to that.
Why is not good enough?
Apparently, because even though they're separating them, still, you know, as opposed to if they actually divorce, that's a stronger deterrent, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, do they allow a takana for the kohen or not? Amalei hachi hashta. So, Rav Ashi had asked this question to Rav Hoshia Bedevidi. So Rav Hoshia answers him, hachi hashta. How could you even think to compare the two cases? In that case over there, kiven de ikirab, meaning that in the case of the Yavama, we said before that Rav Shimon Gamliel. We started by quoting a braisa where Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if a baby lives to be 30 days old, then he's not a nafel, which implies that if he dies during the 30 days, then he's a suffix. Evidently, the Rabbanim disagree with that. And in Shabbos over there, it talks about, again, though, we're talking about, you know, whether we're talking about, and there's a sugya there in connection with the halachos of Mila, whether we're talking about that the baby just died of natural causes, or whether we're talking about that it was eaten by a wild animal that fell off a roof or whatever, an accident happened to it. So in that case of the Yavama over there, kiven de ikir Rabbanan alei the pligi alei de Rav Shimon Gamliel. Since after all you do have the Rabbanan disagreeing with Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Amri and they say afagav de loy shoha vlad mal yahavi, even if he didn't last for 30 days, nevertheless he's considered a perfectly viable child because he might well have lived to 30 days. Then therefore gabe ishes koyin. So when you're talking about in the case of the Yavama, who married out when she's an Ashes Kohen, fine, you have a basis to be makel. Kiven delay Epsher Abdin Kirabon. In that case, you don't have a choice. There's no other way because if you make him divorce her, she's never going to be able to remarry her. So fine, we can be makel and according to Ravina's version of Nova, we can say we can be makel. Fine. And allow them to stay married without her having to have chalitza. Because we at least have Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion to rely on to say that after all the Rabbanan's opinion to rely on to say that this child is considered Vlad Malia and that the woman really is Potter from chalitza and Yibum altogether. So fine, when it comes to it, Yisrael, we're not going to be married. If the baby had survived for 30 days. But even though the baby died within 30 days, at least we can rely on what the Rabban... If it lasted 30 days, there's no question. There's no question that everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon Gamliel. We're talking about it died within 30 days. Yeah.
I think he's Vlad Malia.
Because the Rabbanan are saying, that's the thing. The Gemara discusses in Shabbos whether the possibility that we might be talking about a case, for example, where the baby died of some external cause. So in that case, then there's no reason to think it might not have lived. Most babies live most babies live beyond 30 days. So the Maskana in the Gemara is exactly that. That if the baby just, the expression is piekumes, the baby just yawned and then died, then there's no question, fine, everybody will agree that he's considered messy. He obviously wouldn't have lived for 30 days,
right.
Not Vlad Malia. But if he was eaten by a wild animal or fell off the roof or whatever, an accident happened, he might well have lived to 30 days.
Cause.
It's an external cause.
Yeah.
So the Shimon Gamliel is still saying it's a suffix. The Rabbanan in that case are saying it's not a suffix. There's no reason to think. You go according to Roiv children survive beyond 30 days, so therefore you don't have to worry. So fine, in that case then, we can use that as a basis for allowing this Eishes Kohen to not need Chalitza and therefore not become also to her husband. Because she had a Vlad Malia. She had a baby who would have survived. Right. So Aval Hocha, but over here, in this case that you're asking about, there's a case where the woman is pregnant from somebody else or nursing somebody else's baby. Kaman Nevid, who are you gonna go according to that you want to be Makel? Ikra Meir, if you're gonna go according to the Meir, Hama Yotzi Velayakser Elamis. The Meir says that he has to divorce her and can never even remarry her because the Meir is being Machmir since he married her illegally. The Ikra Banan, no, even according to the Rabbanan, Hamri Yotzi Velayakser Beget. We just established that Rabbanan say at least he does need to give her a get. Until she weans the baby, so there's no basis even to there's no opinion that we can even follow to be Makel. So yes, there's no choice. They're going to have to get divorced. Her new husband is a Kohen, means he's not going to be able to remarry her. Tough luck. However, Itmar. But now they set another discussion. Kidsha b'soich shloisha uvarach. What happens if someone was Makadish a woman within the 3 months? We have to clarify. We're talking about several different things over here. We said till now we've been talking about that. We got into this whole discussion because we're talking about a yivama, that you can't really be doing yivam or chalitza while she's pregnant because you don't know what's going to happen with the baby. Then we compared that with the case where the woman is pregnant or nursing, where therefore you're saying that you shouldn't marry her, meaning to consummate the relationship, because then she may become pregnant again and it'll harm the first baby or it'll harm her milk. Now we're talking actually about a third situation. The din is, and we're going to talk about it later on in the mems, that in general. Actually, we talked about it a little bit at the end of the previous parak as well, that in general, after a woman's gotten divorced or widowed or whatever, you're supposed to wait 3 months to marry her because just in case she's pregnant, you want to be able to tell whose baby it is. What would happen, some babies are born after 7 months, some after 9 months, as we'll talk about in a bit. So if you marry her and consummate the relationship within the first 3 months, then you won't know when a baby is born, is it a 7 month baby from the second from the second husband or a 9 month baby from the first husband, and that causes problems with yuchsin. Yeah. So therefore you don't want to allow it. So now the question is, what happened? He was mekadesh her during the 3 months, or barach, and then he ran away. Pligibarach acha v'rafram. So Rav Acha and Rafram argue about what to do. Chad Omer Mesham Sininle, one of them says you put him in Cherem, but Chad Omer, and the other one says, no, Eruke Mistaye, his running away is enough. Now why would we be saying you should put him in Cherem, according to the one opinion? So there's two different ways of looking at it. Rashi's way of looking at it is you put him in Cherem, and that will prevent him from marrying her during that time. She can't marry him while he's in Cherem. As opposed to...
He was Mekadesh her, he married her?
No, he was Mekadesh her within the 3 months.
No, just
Kiddushin we're talking about.
No Nisuin
yet. But really, we don't want him to be Makadish within 3 months either, because then he may end up doing the Nisuin within the 3 months, and then you're going to have this whole problem.
Right.
But if he was Makadish, which he shouldn't have done, but now he ran away.
Knowing she was pregnant.
Well, no, not knowing she was pregnant, but it's not knowing she was pregnant. It's within the 3 months after she was widowed. So we don't know yet if she's
pregnant.
We don't know yet if she's pregnant.
There's no Nisuin.
So obviously he hasn't had relations with her yet, but we don't want him to be Makadish either because Kiddushin leads to Nisuin.
That's the right or that's
No, it's a Darabana. The whole thing is Darabana.
Okay.
So one way of looking at it is we want to put him in Cherem just for being Makadish her during the 3 months in order to prevent him from marrying her, in order to prevent him from doing Nisuin and then having relations.
Put in Cherem, can still marry her?
Eventually, sure, once he's taken out of Cherem. The other way of looking at it, though, that Rambam says is, no, you put him in Cherem because he was over al Dibre Chachamim. He violated what the Chachamim say. And so that's one opinion. The other opinion says that, no, his running away is good enough. So you can understand that according to either of these ways. According to Rashi's way of looking at it, the point of the Cherem is to prevent him from marrying her. Fine. The him running away also accomplishes the same thing. He's obviously not going to marry her as long as he's not here. According to, forget a get. No, we're not necessarily going to make them divorce in this case because he was only Mekadosh her. But we don't want to allow him to marry her during that time. So Rashi's way of looking at it is because he ran away, therefore we don't need to put him in Cherem because he's already prevented himself from marrying her during that time. The other way of looking at it, the Rambam's way, would be that him running away, Golos Mechaperes Avon, before Shimon the Rambam explained, him having to go into Golos like that, helps to be mechaper for his avera of being over on what the Chachamim say. Therefore, we don't need to put him in Cherem.
What about the partnership? Would you feel willing partners?
Yes. But actually, there's an interesting case. The Knesset Agdola mentioned a case where a man was Mekadosh, an almono or whatever, or grusha, whatever it was, during the 3 months. And he was one other thing I should mention, here we're talking about he ran away, which implies he did it on his own. But actually, the Poskim point out, that actually it's not just he can run away on his own. Beis Din should actually tell him, go away from here. Your choices are, you stay here and we'll put you in Cherem, or you kick town and we won't put you in Cherem.
That's 3 months.
Or whatever, yeah. Actually, that's another discussion, by the way, that the Poskim have. Does he actually have to leave far away enough that he couldn't possibly come back within 3 months, or is it good enough if he just goes to the next town or something? Anyway, so the Knesset Agdola mentions a situation where there was a case like this, and they gave him this ultimatum, we'll put you in Cherem or skip town. He says, I can't skip town. I'm needed over here. Whatever it was, maybe he was one of these kinds of people who, you know, if he takes a vacation from his job, they'll realize he's not really so essential. And who knows? Whatever it was. So they told him in that case, then she should leave. As long as one of them leaves, yeah.
Is that a good condition or not?
Yeah.
She accepted it, right?
Apparently, yeah.
So you want to force him to give a get at that point?
No, why should you force him to give a get? Just wait the 3 months. Hava Ugda, so it once happened, in fact, and in fact, Rafram told them that his running away is sufficient. That, you know, you don't need to put him in Cherem. And that's Taka the Halacha.
And that's like the Rambam?
So it could be according to either Rashi or the Rambam. You could say that either that the running away means that now you don't have to put him in Cherem because anyway he's not marrying her during that time, or his Golos, his going away in Golos, or hers in the Knesset's case, is enough to be mechaper on the Aveda of having violated what the Chachamim say that they shouldn't do Kiddush during that time.
Until
the 3 months have expired, sure.
And if he shows up the next day, they'll probably get put him in Cherem at that point.
If it's during the 3 months, maybe, yeah. Then the Mishnah had mentioned a case, Suffolk Bentation, Vachulo. The Mishnah had mentioned a case where you have the Yavam did Yibum when the Yavama was pregnant and the baby was born, but he did Yibum within the 3 months, which he wasn't supposed to do, and now the baby is born and we're not sure whether it's from the first husband or the second. So we said the first baby. We said that the baby is kosher either way because there's no question. Either he comes from the first husband, or he comes from the first husband, and then he's his father's son, or the first husband never had children. The yibum was a proper yibum, and he's the yavam son. So either way, the kid is fine. But we said the kid can't be a mamzer. But we said yotzi, the yavam still has to divorce her. Because we don't know. Because you have a kid over here. Especially if the kid lives for 30 days, which is what we're talking about over here, then there's no question. He was over on an Issacharis. Eshes Achiv, where he had children. And the Mishnah had added, each of them is also Chayiv and an Ashim Talui. Because we have no way of knowing whether he did a proper Yibum or not.
And if we do a DNA test.
I don't know if DNA testing is acceptable, halacha, but okay. Anyway, why are we so worried? What makes us think that this kid might have been born after 7 months? Why don't we just say we go according to the majority of women? Most women give birth after 9 months. Yeah, maybe bring a chatas vada. Yeah, we're pashtus in that case. We would say they have to bring a chatas vada. We would say certainly is it. Yeah. Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, why? Nashi didan l'shivi yodan. Why? The women in my family give birth after 7 months. Amalei, so he says, what? Nashi didchu habarubu da'alma? So what? The women in your family, most of the world, you still go according to the Rav. Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, hachi kamina. Okay, let me clarify what I meant. Rav nashim yodan l'tisha. Most women give birth after 9 months. You're right. Umiyot l'shiva. However, there is a minority who give birth after 7 months. But when a woman is going to give birth after 9 months, when it's a regular 9 month pregnancy, she starts showing, you're able to see that she's pregnant after 3 months, after one third of the time has passed, after 3 months.
She's going to give birth
after nine months. Then at the 3 month point, you'll be able to see already that she's pregnant. In this woman's case, evidently we didn't see by the time that 3 months has come, we haven't seen any sign that she's pregnant. Itrale ruba. So therefore, the rive has been weakened. She may not be part of the rive because the very fact that she's not showing yet indicates that she might be different than the usual run of women. She might be one of that category
so
who gives birth after 7 months.
7 month pregnancy is not noticed at 3 months as opposed to a 9 month pregnancy. Is that what we're saying?
So there is actually a lot of discussion among the Mefarshim what exactly the Gemara means over here. Do we mean to say that a 7 month pregnancy it'll be noticeable even earlier after 2 months and change because that'll be one third of 7 months, or do we mean that it still is noticeable after 3 months? Whatever it is, the point is that since usually you would expect to see that she's pregnant at 3 months, and here you don't yet. So therefore, at this point, you can't say which category she falls into. So it's a 50-50 chance. If we know, that's different. But even if we know when the last time she had relations with the husband, with the brother who died, that doesn't tell us anything about Shem. And she had relations with the new brother who did Yibum.
So at least Elizabeth turns out the third month at that point, well.
If he waited past the third month, then we're good. But we're talking about he didn't. So now, he did Yibum, let's say 2 months into he did Yibum, let's say 2 months after her husband died. Now, you know, a while later she starts showing, but it's more than a month later. At this point, we don't know. Is she one of the 9 month women or one of the 7 month women?
Making sure she's pregnant after 1 month.
What? No.
If he had Yibum with her
the
second month.
22 months before you...
How would everyone notice that on the third month she would be pregnant? It's almost impossible.
No, because we're saying that only the 9 month women start showing after 3 months. The 7 month women, not necessarily. But besides that, I mean, we could construct other cases also. According to the Mefarshim, we say that the point is a 7 month pregnancy starts being visible after 2 months and 10 days, which is one third of 7 months. Then fine, you could say he did Yibum, let's say 3 weeks after the previous brother died. Now, you know, two months and change later, she starts looking pregnant. But is she one of the 7 month women or one of the 9 month women? You can't really tell. How often do you hear? I mean, the Gemara's assumption is that there's two tracks on which a baby can develop: a 7 month track and a 9 month track.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know that in modern medicine they would say that, but you know, this is it. Okay. Question is, so what are you telling me? Everyone who gives birth after 9 months, she starts showing at 3 months? Then in that case, if she didn't start showing at 3 months, there's no question. It has to be a 7 month baby, and in that case, it comes from the second brother. So no, okay, let's correct the wording. Most of the women who give birth, so we have most women, let's say 90% of women give birth after 9 months, and of those 90% of those, so 80% of the total women start showing at 3 months. In this case, since it wasn't noticeable at one third after the first trimester, it's really ruba, so that ruins the rive, and at this point we can't really tell what category she belongs to. This just, by the way, points out an interesting question over here. Even if you allow for 3 months, it can happen. The Gemara establishes in a number of places, we have this way back in Shabbos, for example, that it can take a few days for the zera to be implanted and then and fertilize the egg. So in that case, then you should have to wait an extra couple of days.
For what?
for Havchana, to be able to tell whose baby it is. The Yavam shouldn't just have to wait 3 months. You should have to wait 3 months and 3 days. Yeah. So the Acharonim have a field day with this whole thing. Some of them in fact say that maybe you do. Others of them argue it's so under the note of Yehuda, for example, wants to argue it's so unlikely that that combination of things, that A, she should be pregnant from her husband at the last possible moment, and B, that it should take 3 days for it to be implanted, we're not going to worry about that kind of thing. But then other Acharonim disagree with that. One interesting possibility, the Noda Yehuda quotes from Kisvei HaRizal, wrote in Eitz Chaim, that actually when we say 3 months, we don't mean it's not literally 3 months as in 90 days that until the pregnancy starts showing. It's 86 days. So then add the 3 days that we have to give as a buffer for that, and you get to 3 months then. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Rishon Roi Lias Kohen Gadol, the first baby, meaning the one that
we remember, I think, in Yerubin, we once mentioned that Mada and Terah, what was the choice, had sun sets, the sun goes up, and...
Not in Erevin, but in Sochem, we had a weird discussion about that, yeah?
So what can we...
So it's a good question, to what extent, so what do we infer from this as far as present-day halacha? It's a good question, I don't know. A lot of ink has been spilled on it, let's put it that way.
Sure.
Turn it up on him. Rishon Roi Lias Kohen Gadol, the first baby, meaning the one that we described in our Mishnah, this one that we're not sure if it's a 9-month baby or a 7-month baby, he could even be a Kohen Gadol, meaning there's no question whatsoever about his Yichus. If the brothers, obviously the two brothers would both be from the same family, if the two brothers were Kohenim, either way this kid is the son of a Kohen, so therefore he's a Kohen himself, he could even become a Kohen Gadol.
We don't know who the father is.
Tosus points that out. That really, in order for him to be considered a Kohen Miyuchas, we need to know who his father is. But Tosus explains the difference is we say that we don't allow a person to act as a Kohen when it's a matter of Znus. Here, she was married to her first husband, and now she's married to her second husband. There's no Znus involved, so therefore we won't apply that rule. Even though it's true, we don't know who his father is, we know he's a Kohen at any rate.
And if it was Nus, what would we say?
If it was Nus, then we would say Midrabanon, we would say that we don't allow him to act as a Kohen. Meshach Kenosim Edin Kohuna is the expression. We'll learn it in Ksubas.
We'll learn everybody else after.
That would be considered Suffolk Kohen, basically. Yeah. We'll learn about it in Ksubas, yeah. Anyway. Shivasheni Mamza Misafik. The second one, meaning if this Yavam and Yavama remain together, or even just they have the first relation, and then they have another baby, then that baby will be Mamza Misafik, because we don't know whether it was Eishes Achiv with children or not.
Eishes Achiv is a Mamza?
Yeah, because it's a Chiyuv Karis. When we get to the sugya of Mamzerus, when we get to Daf Mem Tes, we're going to talk about what kinds of unions make a mamzer. The halacha is, according to the opinion, we talked about it already in the first parak, that the chayvik krisis, that a mamzer can come from chayvik krisis or Mrs. Bastin.
But not from Yisulav, not from Yisulav,
yeah. Vesheni, okay.
It can come from krisis.
From Krisis or from Mrs. Oh, Basin?
But
not from Lavim.
Every Krisis does.
No, but every Krisis can produce them if they have a child, yeah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm in Mamza Misafik. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says there's no Mamza Misafik. My comma, what does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov mean? I'm going to buy a Haka comma. What he means is like this. Rishon Roi Lias Kohen Gadol, the first one we said is completely Miyochos. He could even be a Kohen Gadol. Vesheni Safik Mamzer, the second one though is a Safik Mamzer. Va'asubu Mamzeres. However, because he's only a Safik, he is also to marry a Mamzeres. A Ben Yisrael, a Kosher of Ben Yisrael, is also to marry a Mamzeres. A Mamzer would be allowed to marry a Mamzeres. This person is a Safik, so therefore he's stuck in the middle. Maybe he can't marry, maybe he can marry a Safik like himself. We more discuss it in Kedushin. On the other hand, then we would say Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov, I'm a Suffolk Mamzer, Elavade Mamzer. That no, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov would say he's not a Suffolk Mamzer, he's definitely a Mamzer. Therefore, Multiba Mamzeres. Therefore, he's allowed to marry a Mamzeres.
Definitely a Mamzer, why he's definitely a Mamzer?
That's what Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov is saying, because there's no such thing as a Suffolk Mamzer. We're going to get to in a minute that Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov holds, according to this way, the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov holds, according to one way of looking at it anyway, that a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Vadei Mamzer. You know what? Let's learn through the next few lines, and then that'll clarify. Rava Amar, Rava says no, the other way around. Hachik Amar, Rishon Roi Li Yiskoin Gadol, V'sheni Mamze Vader, V'sheni Mamze Vadai Misofik, Umutu B'Mamzeret. The second one is considered a Mamze Vadai because of the Sofik, and therefore he's allowed to marry a Mamzeret. And then Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Ein Vadai Mamze Misofik, El Sofik Mamze V'Osim Mamzeret. Rather, we consider him a Sofik Mamze, therefore he's also in a Mamzeret. In other words, Abaye and Rav are explaining the two opinions in exactly opposite ways. According to Abaye, the Tanakhama is saying that he's also to marry a Mamzeret. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying he can marry a Mamzeret. And according to Rav, it's the other way around. The Tanakhama is saying he can marry a Mamzeret, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying he can't.
Because what I'm saying, a Sofik Mamzeret is...
Because there's two different ways. When we say, when Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says, Ein Mamzeret Misofik, we could understand him in two different ways. We could understand him as saying, you can't have somebody who's considered a Mamzer based on a Sofik, therefore he's only therefore we consider him a Vadai Mamzer.
When there's a
Sofik, we consider him a Vadai. Or we could understand what he's saying. You can't have somebody with a Mamzer Misofik. Therefore, there is a Sofik. You have to consider him a Sofik Mamzer. That's the question. That's Abaye and Rava are arguing.
Okay, so we're saying a Sofik Mamzer for one is always a Vadai Mamzer, and a Sofik Mamzer for the other is what? Is
a Sofik Mamzer. That's
stays a Sofik Mamzer, or is a kosher?
So one second. What we're saying is like this. No, nobody holds he's kosher. Nobody holds he's for sure kosher because there's always that topic. We have, according to Abaye is explaining that the Tanakhama is saying that he's a Sofik Mamzer. A Sofik Mamzer is also in Mamzerim, is also to marry a Mamzeret. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying we consider him as if he was a Vadai Mamzer, and therefore he's allowed to marry a Mamzeret. And Rava says the other way around. Rava himself is not taking the position. Rava himself is saying, what does the Tanakhama mean and what does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov mean? The Kamislagi with Rav Elazar. The underlying argument over here is about what Rav Elazar says. It's not. We learn in Kiddushin, Rav Elazar, the Tana, that is, Vadon b'Vadon Mutter, he says that a definite Mamzer is allowed to marry a definite Mamzeres, but Vadon b'Sfeken b'Vadon, a Sfeken b'Sfeken also, but a Vadai Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Sofik is not allowed to marry a Vadai, and a Sofik is not allowed to marry another Sofik, because the two Sfekas, you can't say they can marry each other, because one of them might be a Mamzer and one of them not. Elu hein sfeikon, and what do we mean by a Sofik Mamzer? Shsuki v'asufi v'kusi. A Shsuki is someone who we know who his mother is, but we don't know who his father is. He's called Shsuki because, like, when he asks who his father is, his mother tells him to be quiet. So therefore, there's a Sofik on whether she might have become pregnant from someone who's also to her under Kuris and Mrs. Bastin. He might be a Mamzer. A Sufi is a foundling, a child who was found abandoned on the street or something. We have no way of knowing, is he even from Jewish parents or not? He might be a Mamzer, he might be a Goy, he might be a kosher person, we don't know. And a Kusi, Rashi says over here, the reason why the Kusim are considered Sofik Mamzerim is because they don't hold by all the different kinds of Kiddushin. So what happens, for example, a Kusi man is Mekadosh, a Kusi woman with money, she won't consider herself Miskadosh. She'll feel free to go marry somebody else, where really she's considered an Ashes Ish.
And therefore her children,
we have married them, yeah. Elsewhere, it actually explains a different reason, also because they're not careful about the dinim of gittin. So if a Kusi woman gets divorced, according to what they consider divorced, it won't be affected la halacha, therefore she'll go get married, same idea, whatever it is.
If she doesn't consider the money anything, why should she
She doesn't, that's the thing. So therefore she feels free to go do the tradition with somebody else. Yeah. And we find there in the Gemara and Kedushin that we say that the halacha is like Rav Elazar. That Rav Elazar is saying that only a Vadai Mamzer is allowed to marry a Vadai Mamzer. Any kind of sfeikus can't. Now, Ki Amrita Kamed Shmuel, but Rav Yehuda says, when I told over this discussion to Shmuel, Amali, he told me, you should know, Hillel Shana, Hillel taught the following brayse. I don't know if this means the original Hillel or a later Tana of that name, whatever it is. Anyway, he taught a brayse, which is basically the same as the Mishnah over there, the first Mishnah of that Perek and Kedushin. Goes Asoda Yuchsin Olam Bavel. There's 10 classes of Jews who came up from Bavel. Kahani Leviv Yisraeli, Koinim Levim in Israelim, Chaloli, Chalolim, Geiri, Geirim, Charuri, freed slaves, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shsupi, Vasufi. Those are the 10. And he continues, all of them are allowed to marry each other, meaning we don't mean all of them. A Kohen, for example, can't marry a mamzer, or Yisrael can't even marry a mamzer. What we mean is we can group them into groups who are allowed to freely intermarry. Kohenim, Levim, and Yisraelim, for example, are allowed to freely intermarry. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, Gerim are all allowed to freely intermarry, etc. Levim, Yisraelim, Chalolim, and Gerim can all intermarry.
So Levi who marries a Chalol.
Fine.
The children of Levim.
Who the children go according to, that's a discussion over there in Kedushin. It depends whether we halachah absul or halach, whatever. That's the discussion for another time. The point is they are allowed to get married. As opposed to, for example, Yisrael is not allowed to marry a mamzer. But if we're saying kulan matoran lovers ever there, means there are some people who are just sufi and they are sufi. The last two on the list are allowed to marry. It's not just we're saying they're completely off limits. They're allowed to marry the mamzerim and so forth. And you're telling me that halacha is like Rav Elazar? So in other words, in short, we have two different opinions. We have Rav, who says the halacha is like Rav Elazar, that a Suffolk mamzer is also to marry anybody, even another Suffolk. And we have Shmuel, who's saying the halacha is like Hillel, that a Suffolk is allowed to marry a Badai. So therefore, that drives the two different understandings that Rav and Abaya have of this braisa that we just quoted. Abaya Savalach Shmuel, Dama Halacha Kehillel. So now, Abaya holds the halacha is like Shmuel. Who in turn holds that halacha is like Hillel? Now, we have...
And
Hillel says that Suffolk mamzer is allowed to marry another, is allowed to marry a Badai mamzer.
Right.
So therefore, Umuki lo Rav Elazar ben Yaakov alibid hilchasa. So therefore, he wants to explain Rav Elazar ben Yaakov according to that halacha. He wants, therefore, to say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that this Suffolk, even though he is a Suffolk, as a practical matter, we really don't know whether he's a mamzer or not, but because he's a Suffolk, he will be allowed to marry a Badai mamzer, because that's what Hillel holds, and therefore that's what Shmuel holds. And the reason why he does that, ki heichid zol etikshe hilchasa hilchasa. This way we don't have two halachas contradicting each other. We have Shmuel saying the halacha is that they're allowed to intermarry, the mamzerim and the sfeikas. On the other hand, we know a general rule that the halacha usually is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Mishnas Rav Elazar ben Yaakov kav v'naki, we're going to have in a couple of weeks. So therefore, in order that those two things shouldn't contradict each other, the only way is if we understand Rav Elazar ben Yaakov to be agreeing with that opinion.
So what's the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov on
Nothing. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is allowed to have his opinion.
That's something.
No, he's saying ein mamzer misafik, meaning because he's a safik mamzer, therefore we treat him as if he was a badai mamzer.
Like what?
Like Shmuel, actually, like Shmuel, and in turn like Hillel's brayso. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is a tana. He's entitled to say his opinion. On the other hand, Rava Savala Kirav, on the other hand, Rava holds like Rav, the Alma Halacha Kirav Elazar. He says the Halacha is like Rav Elazar, that the Sfeikas are not allowed to marry the Badoim. Umuki Lod Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Alibid Hilchsa, therefore he has to understand Rav Elazar ben Yaakov the opposite of the way Abaya does, to say that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is saying that the Suffolk Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Badai Mamzer. Again, Kiyechit Lechikshi Hilchsa Hilchsa. Again, for the same reason, so that the Halacha, so that if we say the Halacha is like Rav, does not contradict the usual rule that the Halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's the reason for the two different understandings. Amar Abaya, from where do I get this idea that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov always considers a Suffolk as if it was a Vaday, meaning that he says a Suffolk mamzer is considered like a Vaday mamzer? The Tanya, because you learn in a Braisa, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, imagine you have somebody who has relations with many women, the Eni Adal is a Mehen Ban, he doesn't know which one, the Chen Hishbo Allah Nashim Harbe, Eni Adas Me is a Mehen Kibla. Or another way around, a woman who was with many men and she doesn't know which one she became pregnant from. Eventually, you could have nimsa av noises bite v'och noises achosei. You could have a father ends up marrying his daughter without knowing, or brother marries his sister because you have people who are really related to each other but they don't know it. Nismala kol olam kol mamzerin, and then the whole world will be full of mamzerin. And this is what the pasuk means when it says the pasuk says "Apachalas bitchalas noisa." Don't allow your daughter to be promiscuous, because then the land will be full of zima. Because that's the kind of thing you're going to have. But then that people are not going to know who their fathers or siblings or whatever are, and they're going to end up. Now the point is, it's only a matter of suffix in this case. We don't know for sure that because of this you're going to end up having a brother marrying a sister or a father marrying a daughter. And yet Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is using the word "v'nimtza kol elam kol mamzer." So we see from that, Abaya says, that a Suffolk is considered like a mamzer. But Rava Amalach, whereas Rava would answer you, not a problem, Hachikama, because what he means to say is, Zu Mahi, When he uses the word umala art zima, he means the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov takes the word zima as an acronym, zumaki. This one, what is it? Meaning, in other words, we're not talking about vadeh mamzerim. We are talking about sofik mamzerim. The very word zima itself implies that. But they're only sofik mamzerim.
Zuhima.
What is it? Yeah.
So it's a sofik.
Yeah. So therefore, each one of them can explain the braisa in their own way. Continues the Gemara. Yes, sir. And one of them says the vada. Yeah.
Vada, he says because.
Because we're saying that we're calling him mamzerim. We're calling him the smaller kolam kulam mamzerim. As opposed to, Rava says, but the pasuk he's quoting, Mola Earth Zima, Zima is Zumahi. What are these people? Are they mamzerim or not?
But the pasuk says, the drash is on
the word Zima.
But when it's in the smaller column,
close,
mamzerim,
that's what... So fine, so Robert would say he means Sasek mamzerim. Continues the Gemara. Yes, sir, okay, no, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov further said another point. What you saw, Adam Isha b'medina zu, a person should not marry a wife in one country, and then go marry another woman in another country, Shemi Yizabgu Zelzeh, because eventually the children from one marriage may end up meeting the children from the other marriage, v'nimsa achno tesachoten, and you'll end up having a brother marrying a sister without realizing it.
From the second wife.
Incidentally, we'll talk about in a minute a possible exception to that, but actually the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say an interesting idea that maybe this halacha doesn't apply so much nowadays. Nowadays, the world is much more interconnected. I mean, in his time, there were letters and telegrams and whatnot. Nowadays, you know, you have the internet and all. If a person has two different families in two different places, they will keep in touch. So they'll know. They'll know. They'll know who the brother and who the sisters are, yeah. That's a different matter, right? But okay, so the Aruch HaShulchan says we're not talking about marrying two wives. That's also under Chayim Jebeguin. He divorced his first wife, or his first wife died, or whatever, and then he's going to move to another country and remarry. The Aruch HaShulchan wants to say it's not such a big problem nowadays.
They don't know that.
Because nowadays people will know. Yeah. Gemara asks, is that so? I can give you a counter example. Is that so? You're telling me that a person's not allowed to marry different women in different places and have children in different places? But we find, when Rav would visit Daudashir, the name of a city, he would announce and say, "Man havyul yoma, who will be willing to be married to me for the time that I'm spending here in town?"
Wow.
It could be one day. Actually, Rashi uses the expression the yomim for days, and then we'll talk about in a minute what the relevance of that is. And similarly, Rav Nachman ki ikul l'shchansiv machriz ba'am man havi l'yoma. The Rav Nachman would do the same thing when he visited a shchansiv. So we see it's not a problem.
Right away?
Right. Well, one second. We're going to see, actually. Let's go through the few lines, and we'll see exactly what the situation was. There's actually a number of different explanations in Mefarshim. This Gemara is also in Yoma. We had it in Yoma in connection with the Kohen Gadol's first wife and second wife and whatever, and there was a long Tosfos over there that discusses the pros and cons of what exactly went on over here. But let's learn Gemara straight through first, and then we'll see. Not Medina Siyam, necessarily. Davdashir and Chansiv are just cities, whatever. Answer is, Shaini Rabbanan, the Pia Shemai. It's different with the Rabbanan. They're famous. If this woman in Daudashir or Shansiv actually becomes pregnant from Rav or from Rav Nachman, the children that they have are going to be well known in the world that they are Rav's or Rav Nachman's children. So therefore, if they when they're going and looking for a shidduch, everybody will know to say. Okay, the Gemara asks, but we have a different problem. Rava says that the din is if you propose marriage to a woman, v'nispaisa, and she agrees, she has to sit for 7 clean days because there might have been an issue called chimur. The excitement of looking forward to beer may have caused her to emit a drop of blood, which she may not have realized herself. Therefore, she becomes tamei nida, and therefore midrabanan, we make her wait for 7 clean days. So, what kind of? It sounds like Rav or Rav Nachman is planning to marry them and have relations with them the same day. How is that possible? The answer is rabanan shluchayu have a mashad. What actually happened was that Rav or Rav Nachman would send shluchim ahead of them, umaydilahu, and they would inform they would inform the women. So he'd inform them ahead of time, I'd like to marry you. So therefore, by the time they come to town, already the Shiva Nakim are passed. V'iboyseima, wait, again, I'll tell you in a minute, there's a number of different explanations of this. V'iboyseima, or another possibility, l'rabbanon yichudi ba'almahud miyachdi lahu. With the Rabbanon, it wasn't they would actually have relations with them. They would be miyachid them, which is two different explanations, two different major explanations of what that means. It means either that they would be in yichud with them, but not actually have relations, or it means they would set them aside. They would be designated to be Rav or Rav Nachman's wife for a day or for a short period of time, but not that they actually ever go through with it. And why would they do that? In that case, Da'amamar, because the Braita said in a Dama, Mishiyesh lepas pasala, the Mishiyesh lepas pasala. You can't compare somebody who has bread in his basket to somebody who doesn't. Meaning, in other words, if they know there's the opportunity to be with these women, even if they don't actually carry it through, that itself helps control their Yetzirah, knowing that they have the opportunity. Which, one of the big questions is, if we're saying they have to wait for the 7 days, what kind of pasvasala is there? They have to wait the 7 days anyway. So, Tosfos asks that over here. So Tosfos answers, one possibility is that they told the women, I might end up actually marrying you and consummating the marriage, I might not. So therefore, there's no chimud. Therefore, there's none of that potential. No, so they'd be according to this one explanation, and again, there's several different ones, they'd be Makadish them, but the Kedushin was, when I come to town, we might go through with the Nisuin, we might not.
So if they did... Should he have to give her a get?
Yes. Yeah.
That would be Yichud on Tanaya.
So that's what Tosfos points out. If we say that Yichud b'hava miyachdu means that they did Yichud, obviously that implies that they had to actually do, that they had to actually do not just Kiddushin, actually. They would have had to do Nisuin. But the Nisuin, we were not certain if we're actually going to consummate it or not. So therefore, there's no Chimud. Because otherwise, yeah, Yichud is also.
There would be a Chimud without...
No, but there wouldn't be a Chimud unless she knows the understanding according to this is there's not going to be Chimud unless she knows that they're going to be having relations. So that's one way. But again, if we say that Yichud have a miyachdi lahu, which Rashi explains in Yoma means they designate them as a temporary wife, doesn't mean they'd have Yichud with them. Well, then it doesn't mean they actually had to have done Kedushin at all. Yeah. Either, like I said, there's many different ways of understanding exactly what they did over here. And again, so we have different possibilities. Either that they would not actually even be alone with them. It was just a possibility. Even we could say that it's pasvasaloi because, first of all, according to Tosfos' way of looking at it is they have the option to consummate it if they want to. Another way of looking at it, which Tosfos mentions in Yuma, is given that after the 7 days they will have the option to, that already itself is considered pasvasaloi. That itself already is enough to help them control the taifa. That they know that right now we may not be allowed to, but in 7 days we will be allowed to. Which actually, that's the Mefarshim point out. I think the Ritva points out. That's why Rashi uses the expression over here. Not even though the Gemara uses the expression l'yoyma for 1 day, Rashi paraphrases it as l'yomim she'asakit kan, the days plural, because according to that way of looking at it, he's actually going to have to wait for the 7 days if he wants to have relations with her.
Yes, in fact, the person's not allowed to see this one. That's
fit
with the fact that maybe it's only
a Salma. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe they asked for pictures. When they said they're shluchim, they asked for pictures. I don't know.
A woman doesn't need the person. A woman doesn't care.
Yeah, Tom LeMay can't do, etc. Yeah, but so there's that. It could also be. I mean, we're saying that Rav and Rav Nachman regularly used to visit these places. So it may be that previous times they will have seen one or another of these women who are willing to go through with this kind of thing, and therefore they don't need to see them again now. Also, so that's another thing Mefarshim point out. If it would happen that they actually decide they want to stay married, then fine, he'll take her back to his hometown. So according to the first answer of the Gemara, we don't even need that. The women could stay there in Dardashir. They'll have children maybe, but since they're Rabbanon are well known, then there won't be a problem of Achnos Achoyte. The other way of looking at it is that they'll actually take them back with them, and therefore their Vaita won't be a problem. Yeah. Tana, we learn in Braisa.
I hate to say it, but so much for women's rights. I mean...
okay, yeah. The women had a choice. He's saying, man have you, who's willing to? Also true. Tanya, Rebelezim and Yaakov, lo yisa adam ishtei v'taita l'gasha. A person should not marry a woman having in mind that he's going to divorce her. Mishum Shanema, because the Pasuk says, Al tachrish al re'echa ra, don't think evil about your friend, when he's sitting peacefully with you. So why is the Gemara bringing that in over here? Some of Farshim say, because it helps illuminate what we just said before. When do we say this, lo yisadim isha v'dai to the garcha, if she doesn't know that you're intending, but if she knows, like in these cases that we just said, that l'chachila, we're intending it only as a temporary matter, then there's not such an issue with it. So there's a sicha in Chelek Lama Dalet, by the way, where the Rebbe analyzes the Rambam brings this. We have this expression here, and the Gemara brings a slightly different expression, although quoting the same pasuk in Gittin about being married to a woman and planning to divorce her. And the Rambam brings them in two places also, in Hilchos Gerushin, I think, and in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. So the sicha in Chelek Lama Dalet, where the Rebbe analyzes what the difference between the two things is. One is because you can have a situation where you're married, you already are married, and then you're intending to divorce her, but you haven't yet told her. That's one thing. And then you have another situation where you're planning to get married l'chatchila as having in mind to get divorced.
You make the decision of first case before the marriage.
Before the marriage, like you're going into the marriage knowing you're going to get divorced, versus you're already in the marriage and then deciding to get divorced, but haven't told. No, but the point is, you have to tell her that you should tell her as soon as if you're contemplating divorce, you should tell her. If you're not sure, then you know. Okay, but the daitil agarsha, if he's intending to divorce, so once he intends to, then. So the Rebbe analyzes it based on the idea that the Rambam is expressing there's two different ideas over here. One expresses the idea that to not be unfair to her, and the other one expresses the essence of what a marriage is all about, that you don't go into a marriage intending to l'chatchila to break it up.
Who would intend to go into a marriage l'chatchila to break it up?
Sometimes it happens, but I mean, we just had these cases over here, which is why some of the Mepharshim are explaining these various possibilities.
Potential.
So that's why some of the Mepharshim say that it was potential only, because otherwise you have this problem that he knows the issue of a dai to the garsha, yeah.
Right.
But sometimes it can happen. It can happen, for example, that you marry a woman just to, you know, to for whatever reason, you know, just, you know, I don't know, whatever. You can construct scenarios, I'm sure, where for whatever reason you want to get married just temporarily, and then, you know. Actually, for example, you know, you have the famous story of Reb Sarah's parents, right? You know, where he only married her to save her from the party. Well, that's different. And actually, she said, you know what, since such a person who's willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh for me, I want to stay married to him. But yeah, you know.
That's authorized.
Yes.
If you marry a woman to save her from us.
Right. Right. We're not talking about that yet. That's another point also. That's true. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, points out that nowadays if you have Gerushim and you can't divorce the woman against her will anyway, then the halacha is subtle, is somewhat different in application anyway. Yeah.